we begin with a discussion about the budget from the point of view of the reductions and cuts that President Obama has been talking about over the last several days. The new proposal contains $17 billion worth of reductions and cuts of programs that the Office of Management and Budget says don't work or don't work very well. Former Associate Director for Administration and Government at OMB, Robert Shea, is my guest to talk about that. Now Director of Global Public of the Global Public Sector at Grant Thornton. And Robert is my guest to talk about applying performance metrics to the budgeting process. Thank you for being on the program today, Robert.
Glad to be with you as always, Francis.
The Obama administration talked about the fact that these programs are on the way out, or they would like them to be on the way out, because they have looked at results, theoretically, the results that you and your team put together through the performance metrics that you instituted at OMB. But I want to try to get a feel for the likelihood, based on your experience at OMB, that what the president is asking to go away will actually go away.
Well, to give you some sense of perspective, when the president made similar proposals, they totaled probably twice as much as what the President Obama proposed in the $34-35 billion range. We were never successful getting more than a couple of billion in cuts. Still a lot of money, but a small percentage even of what was proposed. And if that holds true, you're looking at the success rate of probably just another $1 billion or two from these proposals.
And so what does that mean for the people at the agencies who are saying, going through the numbers and they're saying, well, that's me. I work there. I manage that project that's being eliminated. Obviously, they're getting some warning about this, I imagine. I find it hard to believe that the White House would not let them, give them a heads up and say you're going to be named in this budget that's coming out as not being in it any longer. But what does that mean? Are these people who should be looking for other work, or how does all that shake out?
These people ought to be working really hard to make sure their programs are successful, because if history is any judge, the likelihood that these cuts will actually be successful is remote. Now, there may be some specifics that have a greater likelihood of being eliminated or reduced, but in many cases, these programs will survive. So until Congress speaks or they get greater evidence that these are actually likely to be acted upon, I would encourage them to focus on making their programs work as best they can.
What do you think that says, though, about the idea that whatever the Obama administration does to institute their performance metrics, and we'll talk a little bit about that in just a moment as well, but obviously they're going to institute something that they think suits what they need to know about what these programs are doing at the various agencies. But if nothing's really ever going to happen, what does that say for their likelihood to be any more successful than your team was about moving some of these projects along or making them go away?
Well, some suggest it's like Nixon going to China. A Democrat proposing these cuts may have greater success than a Republican. But if you see some of the media reports, the outcry from the supporters of these programs is already pretty loud. So there'll still be a tough hill to climb. It will take persistent, high-level leadership to actually accomplish these cuts and reductions.
Let's take a step back and think about the process where you instituted these metrics, collated the information that you wanted, and now you've got your hit list. Is it just as simple as saying, this one, Project X, is underperforming, so we'll go over here to where it's listed on the budget and cross it out? Is it that simple, or is there more to it than that?
There's a lot more to it than that. There's rarely a case where the performance is the only factor in making a budget recommendation. You've got to figure out whether there's any chance that the program can improve or whether it's so poorly designed that it's not likely to be fixable. Then you got to figure out what your priorities are. So if you're trying to find money to invest in other things, you may look for less high priority and ineffective programs as a source for those funds. Then you also have to take politics into account. This is our government is a political organization run by party officials, and they will have to take politics into account as they determine where or where not to propose cuts.
The political element, too, is another thing I wanted to touch on, because I would think it would not, with a president and leadership in both houses of Congress in the same party, it would not seem to me to make much sense politically for the president to make a whole long list of things he wants to cut and wind up getting none of them. So I would think that a lot of that analysis, that was probably a pretty big factor in this list of the president going for things that he thought he might be able to get or get half of them or some metric like that. So it surprises me, I guess, a little bit that there's as much pushback as there is, as quick as there has been.
Yeah, I mean, in these cases, I think in every program you propose to eliminate, you are going to alienate someone. So you better be darn sure that the evidence backs up your recommendation. And even if it is irrefutable, you look at the Even Start program, which has had a number of rigorous evaluations that show it to be ineffective, really not having an impact on the kids it serves. Even in the face of that evidence, supporters insist that it's worthy of investment.
And I'm trying to process in my mind as I'm listening to you talk, then at some point there must be a level of futility that you experience that you say, you know what, no matter how tough a time this project is having, no matter how much we measure this and we discover this isn't salvageable, is there a point where you say it's really not even worth trying to do anything with because the likelihood of being able to get rid of it is so remote?
Not for an eternal optimist like me. There are some programs where it's so mom and apple pie that you think the flak to jack ratio isn't worth it to propose a cut in that program.
Mm-hmm.
But our fiscal straits are so dire, our need to address critical problems is so great that I think it's worth it to continue the effort to use information to decide where best to invest money and get the greatest result.
All right. I have some questions for you about PART and the PMA, and we'll talk about those when we come back on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My guest is Robert Shea, former Associate Director for Administration and Government at OMB, now Director of the Global Public Sector at Grant Thornton, on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. It's In Depth with Francis Rose.
Join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series, Inside Government. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m., right here on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m.
Microsoft's National Security Group helps agencies leverage existing investments to boost productivity and cost savings. The Federal Server Core Configuration, or FSCC, is Microsoft's recommended approach to standardizing servers running on Windows operating systems. The FSCC delivers enhanced security, reduced total cost of ownership, and increased agility when adopting new technologies. To learn more, visit the Microsoft booth at the DOTUS conference or visit FutureFed.com.
A new administration, evolving IT policies, and dynamic technology tools are changing the way government communicates, collaborates, and serves citizens. Join government IT security and management professionals at the 2009 Symantec Government Symposium on June 16th, a one-day event covering information security, data sharing, governance, business continuity, virtualization, cloud computing, and the cyber initiative. Join in the dialogue. Register today at www.symantec.com/symposium.
Hi, I'm Neil Asbury, host of The Neil Asbury Show. Please join me and my guests each week as we discuss the importance of international trade, entrepreneurialism, small business ownership, job creation, and the American dream.
The Neil Asbury Show, Saturday mornings at 8 on Federal News Radio. The Neil Asbury Show is sponsored by AIT Worldwide Logistics, Yoakum Shore and Trossaven, and WTS, Withers Worldwide Transportation Systems.
There's no better way to study the world's best golf swings than to watch them side by side on the range. Move down the line from Arnold Palmer to Fred Couples to Phil Mickelson, and you notice not just the differences, but the similarities, like their wonderful balance, rhythm, and timing. And if you look closely as they leave, you'll notice something else they have in common. The same timepiece, a Rolex Day-Date. Available in 18-karat white or yellow gold or platinum, the Day-Date is put through 15 days and nights of the most grueling testing before it ever leaves Geneva. That ensures that, like these great golfers, it will perform as well in the real world as it does in practice. To see a complete selection of Rolex timepieces, visit your official Rolex jeweler.
See what a new watch can say about you at Tourneau, the world's largest watch store since 1900. Tourneau, the fashion center at Pentagon City, Arlington.
We're back on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest is Robert Shea, former Associate Director for Administration and Government at OMB, and now with Grant Thornton. And we're talking about performance metrics and measuring programs and trying to get them to the chopping block. Of course, you can find now on federalnewsradio.com information about President Obama's budget request. It cuts 121 programs. $17 billion total out of a $3.5 trillion spending plan. And one of the things, obviously, that you want to know before you cut something is how well it works. We've talked about that not just today, but in the past, back when you were at OMB, Robert, we talked about that not just on this program, but on our other programs on Federal News Radio, about how you measure those. And, of course, the PART was and the PMA were the tools that you use primarily to measure performance overall in the government. PART came up at the on the conference call that OMB Director Peter Orszag was talking about this budget the other day. And I want to play you a segment of his response to a question about the PART and then get your thoughts about what he had to say.
Okay.
This is Peter Orszag.
We are in the midst of overhauling the performance metric system. I've said before, and I'll say again, I think the PART system was well-intentioned, but was flawed both in terms of implementation and in terms of design. In implementation, there was not enough buy-in from the people who were supposed to use it, and in terms of design, it was much too input-oriented rather than output-oriented. As you know, the President has put forward Jeff Zients as the Chief Performance Officer and Deputy Director of Management nominee here at OMB, and one of his highest priorities once he's confirmed is to overhaul that performance metric system. While we await his confirmation, we are doing the legwork that would be necessary to make that move as quickly as possible once he's in office.
That's Peter Orszag, the new OMB director, talking about the program assessment rating tool that, Robert, you were heavily involved with at OMB, obviously. I think the comment that he made that jumped out the most at me was the input versus output comment. You have any thoughts about that?
Oh, I do. I think he's right that we didn't have buy-in from the Congress, but that's in large part, because we focused on outcomes. Not exclusively. You have to measure what a program is doing to achieve outcomes, but the purpose of the PART was to set standards by which programs will be judged in terms of their public benefit? What outcomes were they performing that benefited the American people? And programs today have a much clearer definition of success in terms of outcomes than they've ever had in the past as a result of the PART process. I suspect Director Orszag just hadn't read PARTs, so he's not and is not that familiar with the PART process. So he probably hasn't seen the improvement in outcome measurements that are attributable to that process.
Are there things that you would do differently in hindsight or ways that you would improve it, tighten it up, et cetera, with PART if you were starting from scratch today?
Well, I think communication is always hard, but technology, the kinds of collaborations that are going on today would have been great tools to have as we launch that process, inviting public or congressional or stakeholder comment on the evidence that we were using to assess programs and the ultimate measures we arrived at. I think that would have improved buy-in. But again, I'm not sure you're ever going to get total congressional support for a critical view of programs that they created. Not all folks want to be objectively judged on their performance, lest they come out looking less favorable than they hope.
If someone were to come to you from the administration and say, why did you do what you did? Why did you set it up the way that you did? We heard Director Orszag say he thought PART was set up with the best of intentions, which I thought was interesting in the way that was phrased. But what's in one sentence, I guess, how would you respond to, well, that it was the best of intentions? Wasn't that kind of the point?
It was a well-designed, well-executed tool. Programs have better definitions of success. We have a better baseline from which to measure their performance today than ever before. It's time to evolve. We can look more at cross-cutting programs, what like programs are doing to achieve mutual objectives, get them to collaborate towards those objectives better. But I don't think we'd be there or have that capacity today without the process we went through over the last 8 years.